This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, an interview from earlier this year on the relationship between trade and manufacturing jobs. Upjohn Institute economist Susan Hausman says automation isn't the sole reason those jobs have been eliminated. But first, if you hear the term gaming, does your mind go to video games, card games? What about board games? Tabletop games accounted for over $9 billion in sales worldwide in 2016, according to one source. We're going to talk with a couple of West Michigan men who are involved with board games. Ken Franklin of Vicksburg recently published the Prohibition-era game, the Mansky Caper. Brian Lenz is the co-founder of the annual Grand Rapids gaming convention, GrandCon. Thank you very much for being here, both of you.
Thank you for having us.
I'm delighted.
So what is the appeal of a board game? If you just want to sit down on Friday night or whatever and play, what maybe is the appeal of that as opposed to playing video games?
Well, I think the biggest advantage to tabletop gaming is you're face-to-face having social interaction with your fellow players. It can be hard competition for defeat versus victory. It can be somewhat collaborative, where you're seeing who's best at a common task, or it can be completely cooperative, where you all win together or lose together. In any case, it's human interaction in a wonderful form without any of the social requirements to behave just right.
Brian?
Ken has pretty much covered the basis on there. It's for me, I see it as an opportunity to sit down with friends, family, or foes who will become friends over time. Giving you the experience of, as Ken said, with the, you know, to reiterate some of the collaborative, communicative, even taking it to as a segue for educational purposes, teaching you how to handle anger management, things of that nature, which being put to the test, so to speak, when you're sitting across the table from someone, really can put you in check. And then it does create an experience of excitement. And ultimately, we want to have fun while we're doing this.
If someone has not played a board game in a while, perhaps the last time they sat down, it was Sorry or Monopoly, and that was really what was available, would they find that there are other types of games out there now that perhaps are different, provide a different experience?
Absolutely. There have been 9,000 new games that came out in just the last two years.
Yeah.
And they run the gamut from very heavy simulations that make Risk look like tic-tac-toe, all the way down to family experiences where you're all going to pick flowers together or plant a garden or go to a theme park. Just any kind of shared experience can be found in a board game these days.
I contributed to it's an artist appeal. So someone who creates a game looks at it and says, what do I enjoy and what can I paint for a player, right? What do I put together that will create this experience I want to bring to the table that they can enjoy? Going to a theme park, you know, getting into combat or playing in something that's economical. So, you know, from your games of Uno, Sorry, Clue, Monopoly to games such as Imagineers or City of Gears, and the list goes on and on and on. You know, there are many different tapestries you can sit down and enjoy from the creative standpoint. And ultimately, there is that fun for everyone.
Brian said it is an art form, and I couldn't agree more. It's actually become its own set of literature. You know, back when we were children, back in 19... we would see games named after TV shows. There was the My Mother, the Car game, and a World of Disney game, and those kind of things. We've actually come full circle, and now we have board game properties that have become movies. So, you know, living in the world that was created as a board game can become an immersive experience for people that they want to have more of.
Is there a certain sort of person, or is there a demographic that finds board games more appealing? We think of video games being a young person thing, but there's certainly plenty of adults who play video games as well. Do board games have any sort of particular sweet spot demographically?
It's going to appeal to a lot of guys at first, but I want folks to know that it's a family-oriented industry, very much so. For a long time, it always has been kind of put into that corner or the stigma that it's a guy only kind of industry, but it's not. My convention, I see families come in with all ages. Kids can come in from, you know, really three on up. Their parents bring them in. I offer opportunities for them to play all sorts of games, to sit with designers such as Ken to play their games. So honestly, it's for everybody. It's a very diverse, welcoming, open arms industry, and it's meant for all ages. It's a family-driven industry where I think we have to get over that stigma a little bit.
Yeah, I think the entrance requirement to enjoying a game is that you have a pulse. And other than that, there's a game out there for you. There are children's games put out by companies such as Haba and GameRight. There are family games put out by USAopoly,
Calliope Games,
who I published with. There are games that are reaching out to every single market. And the idea that there's a girl's game and a guy's game, that there's going to be a war game and a mall madness game, those days are gone. These are all designed to be inclusive experiences for all demographics.
Right. Challenging in many, many ways.
Ken, one of the games you have designed is called the Mansky Caper.
Yes.
It's a Prohibition era game. Is this an example of where maybe somebody who has a particular interest, you know, in history, might say, you know, this sounds interesting to me?
I think that's true. I do tell you that as it developed, Mansky Caper started out as a Raiders of the Lost Ark game and then went to a pirate game and then became a Prohibition game because there were too many other games with that other theme. So we were looking for a unique theme. But yeah, I think if there's any piece of culture that you're interested in, you're going to find it. And that's especially true in Europe, where a lot of the called the Euro-style games focus heavily on individual cultures.
How hard is it to come up with a concept or have that concept in your head and then actually get it produced as a board game?
It's tough.
It is very tough.
It's tough.
Because you have to make sure that it's not something you enjoy, but that anybody else could enjoy in your target group. Mansky Caper only took 7 years to get to market.
Okay.
Imagineers is going to take about 8 months. There are lots of conventions around the country called protospiels and unpubs where you bring your idea together and you test each other's games and give each other advice. And not only is that an exciting experience for shaping your literature, but it also is kind of a metagame in itself. You're making relationship with other designers who share the passion for creativity, and they're very enjoyable experiences.
Yeah, even at GrandCon, I have a segment where I work with Unpub, and then designers can come in and sit on their own and talk with each other or have attendees walk in and play their games to get the experience of, like, am I going in the right direction? Am I getting the right feedback? But to make a game, it's like asking someone to build an engine from the ground up. You know, like, here you go. Here's some raw metal. Make an engine. And it's a challenging experience.
It requires an investment not unlike writing a book.
But Ken, you mentioned the Mansky Caper was about 7 years.
Right.
Imagineers more like 8 months.
Right.
Is it something where if you get through the process once and you understand the pitfalls and the places where it can go south, that the next time around it can be easier?
Oh, I think it's true. I mean, we are creatures of practice. You get better at public speaking by public speaking. You get better at playing games by playing games. And you get better at designing games by designing games. So there's no question there's a benefit to the learning.
Oh, for sure. And sometimes there are just things that click. They just fall into place, right? And that's what I've seen too is some designs. I've seen designers put a game out that took them 3 to 4 months and it was a stellar game. But in some cases, 9, 10 years and they're still working on it.
Imagineers is a great example of that. Chris Leader invented a game called Roll For It, which took him less than a year and was a major worldwide hit. But he has been wanting to make a game about roller coasters for 20 years. And I got to know him over the last 6 years. And a year ago, he said, you know, I really want to make a game about roller coasters. Would you help me? And we got together And in 2 months, we had a playable game. And then it sat for a little bit, and a company picked it up 4 months later, and now it's going to be on shelves next summer.
As I look around at some of the games, you know, you mentioned roller coasters at amusement parks. In just reading up on games before sitting down with you gentlemen, I found there was a game about cattle breeding.
Yeah.
You know, is it with so many games out there, can there be sort of a very targeted sort of game where you might think, I can't imagine a lot of people would want to play a game about this particular industry or this particular time in history, but there's enough out there. There maybe it's a narrow market, but enough of a market that you can produce a game and find enough people to play it.
There again, I think the parallels with the book industry are very real. You can go in and pick up a book, says, I don't want to read a Western, and then never want to put it down. You can be surprised by an experience and fall in love with something that you didn't think you'd be appealed by. And that's why I think little conventions like Grand Con are great, because you can go around and sit and demonstrate these games, and you don't have to buy a bunch of them to get it, and find something completely delightful.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I also, theme sometimes is the draw, such as you're talking about with the cattle and rustling or driving them, right? It can be the draw, but a lot of times it's that theme married up with in our side of life in the hobby industry or in gaming. You look for certain mechanics that come together brilliantly that strike a chord with a lot of people. So it could be about baseball players, or it could be about cattle drivers, but that undertone of how it plays is really what drives you in. There are folks that becomes a whole different topic of discussion, but there are folks that like it has to have this in it for me to play it or want to play it, right? This is kind of going to, you know, what do you choose? But a lot of times folks, if they get over the theme of it, the undertone is that the game is solid. The game has some pieces that come together that, you know, make you click along with it.
And once you have a mechanic that gets through, then this theme becomes secondary. There's a game that came out several years ago called Love Letter, a beautiful little game with 16 cards that you could play one hand in 3 minutes. And it was such a hit. And then there was a Love Letter, and then there was an Oriental Love Letter, and then there was a Batman Love Letter, and then there was a Harry Potter Love Letter. And so you fall in love with the way of playing, and then you find this theme that appeals to you.
Are conventions important for an industry like this, because as you mentioned, there is this hands-on aspect of board games that, in other words, you know, researching online is probably maybe not the best way to do it. The conventions are perhaps the ideal way for you to seek out the people whom, you know, you might connect with to start a partnership, or maybe find the person who you think can help you get a board game to market, et cetera.
Absolutely. I can definitely answer that in the sense of even running Grand Con. You know, it's what I focus on is opening up the doors of the hobby world to as many people as I possibly can, from the young to the young at heart. So, but with that being said, it definitely sheds light on, wow, I didn't know this was out there. I didn't know this was available to me. I didn't know I could sit down with Ken Franklin and play his game. I didn't know I could sit down with an Eric Lang and play their games. Conventions are, to me, they are a hub to all the spokes of the industry. Trade shows are, protospiels, unpubs. They bring people together, and that's the hub. And then from there, you're trying to network out. It creates a marketing opportunity. It creates a business opportunity, so on and so forth. It creates friendships. It creates social interactions. There's so many things that come out of a convention. Mine is considered a regional show. So I see a few thousand people right now versus tens of thousands of people. So you get, in my opinion, and not to be biased, but I think you get a better interaction with the smaller shows with folks than you will with the larger shows. So yes, I think conventions or trade shows are crucial to the industry, to the business.
I think they tell the publishers what games have a potential in the world, because only about 1 out of 5 game players is going to go to a convention. Most family games are bought by mom when they're at Meijer. But to get the games that they think mom and their kids will play, you take them to a convention and get mom and their kids to sit down and play, and then you watch their reaction.
So is there any new game in the pipeline or something that we should be looking for in 2019 when it comes to board games, the tabletop gaming industry?
Well, thank you for the softball over the plate, Gordon.
Have a good swing, sir.
I'm sure there are going to be thousands. I am very proud of Imagineers, which I did with Chris Leader, which will be out in the summer, where you are competing. Actually, you're cooperating to build a theme park, but each of you has your own signature roller coaster, and you want to make yours the best because the more people enjoy your ride, the more famous you get, and the most famous designer wins. I'm also collaborating with a wonderful Kalamazoo native by the name of Eric Hyland on a game called At What Cost, which is a war game that teaches you the superior strategy of getting to peace. That's not out there. But it just premiered at Protospiel in Madison, Wisconsin, and it had great reviews.
We should note that you are a veteran.
I am. I was in the Army for 25 years.
Brian, anything in 2019 that you think we should be excited about?
Oh, the list goes on. There will be another 4,000 or 5,000 titles. Personally, you know, Imagineers, I was a backer. Right now, in the industry, a lot of games can be found through Kickstarter for the hobby industry. It's a great way to kind of seek some out if you're not knowing. Another wonderful resource that we should mention is Board Game Geek, which is the largest digital data collection house of board games in the world. And so if you want to research anything about board gaming, that's a great place to start. But as far as in the future, there's a list that I couldn't even mention right now. There's so many games coming out, you know, next year. So really, I look for games that will fit into my convention because I have my own library, and then I look for personal ones too. So people can come to my convention and actually play a lot of these games that they see coming out with friends, try it before you buy it kind of thing, or, you know, get in and get the opportunity to actually have it taught to you when you have bought it. So it's hard for me to say, are there specifics? There's going to be hundreds that are coming out.
When's the next convention?
My next convention, it'll be Labor Day weekend. So it's August 29th through September 1st. It will be Grand Con Gaming Convention in Grand Rapids at DeVos Place.
Ken Franklin of Vicksburg is a board game designer, and Brian Lenz, the co-founder of Grand Con, an annual gaming convention in Grand Rapids. Thank you both for your time.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.